Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. Now, we're just going to hear from Amy Croft for a few minutes. Amy, where are you? Come on down. Let's welcome Amy. Amy is has been over in France for a little while, sort of doing some stuff with the church that relates to us down there. So, Amy, can you just give us an update? You've been home for 10 days, a couple of weeks, Christmas holiday. Can you just give us an update? What's God doing? What's happening? And how are you doing? Is that right?
Hello. Hope you're all good. God's been doing some really cool stuff in France. I'm in Dijon, which is in the Burgundy region. And there's so many things, but the one thing that I really want to say is about we've got a gospel choir in the youth. And in the past 3 months, God has just opened up so many doors so that we can go into some of the most influential places in Dijon and in our region. And we've been able to literally worship in these places in front of the future generations of business people, of people that are already at the top of the businesses in our region and in our town. And it's just incredible to be able to do that, just to sing the name of Jesus over those places. And God's just keeping he's just always opening up doors and always just, it's just been so easy. We haven't even done anything. We've just had calls on the people calling us up saying, can you come and sing for us? And it's just incredible, really it's just amazing. And, so we've had that, and that's also in our church as well. For our Christmas thing, half of the people that came were from outside of our church, which was just incredible just to see like a room full of people, and half of them had never been to church before. And for France, it's literally a miracle to see that happen. So it's really, really amazing. So yeah. And me, I'm doing really well. I just want to say thank you so much for your generosity. I know that you took an offering here. I just want to say thank you so much. That blesses us so, so much. The people who receive that. So thank you so much for your prayer and support. And yeah, thank you.
Brilliant. Let's stand together. We're going to pray for Amy. She's going back tomorrow and is there for at least another 6 months. Is that right? Your French is coming on pretty well, isn't it? Oui. That's as fluent as I am. So that's brilliant. You know as many words as I do in French. Great. Let's just pray for Amy, shall we? Father, we thank you that Amy responded to what you said and the call to be down in France for a period of time and everything that you're doing in her. But also thank you for what you're doing through her, Father. And Father, we just want to just release her and send her back into that situation tomorrow and the coming months and everything you're going to do in her and through her. That she'll be a breath of fresh air. She'll be light in the darkness. She'll be a hope to the hopeless. And she'll be life to those that don't have your life, Father. And that she'll just carry something really powerful of your presence into every situation that she goes into. She'd be amazed at the way the things you do in her and through her in these coming months. So we just speak your goodness, your blessing, your abundance, and your favor over Amy. And that everywhere she goes, your favor would go before her, opening up opportunities, opening up the way. That she'd be blessed personally. The church would be blessed, but also Dijon and that region would be blessed as a result of her being there. So, Father, we praise you and we thank you for her. What a gift that she is to the body here as well. We thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Bless you, mate. Have a great trip back, eh? Brilliant. Okay, grab a seat. How many of you have had a good Christmas? How many of you have eaten a bit too much? How many of you are glad we've got a bit of prayer and fasting coming up then? Hey, lose a few pounds, but brilliant. Now, going to be a short message this morning, something quite practical. We've got some other things we want to do, so okay, this is my little fruit tree, and what do you reckon? It's not a lot of fruit on it yet, is there? But it is a fruit tree. It's a bramble apple tree, but let's just call it a fruit tree. Do you like my gardening gloves? They are. Well, they're not mine. They're the ones that are left here, so obviously they're not you. So anyway, this is a little fruit tree. What is the purpose of a fruit tree? Pardon? What's the purpose of a fruit tree? To bear fruit, okay? So if it doesn't bear fruit, is it fulfilling its purpose? No. You're pretty intelligent, you lot, this morning. It's great. The new year hasn't dulled your senses that much. There's a few little buds here and there coming out of the thing here, but there's no fruit on this at this moment. Now, we're going to look at a particular verse in Psalm chapter 1, and we're going to look at a few verses here. I believe this year, God wants us to know his incredible favor, his amazing goodness, his hand of blessing, not just so that we consume who he is, but so that there's just the flow of his life that flows through us to one another, but also out beyond that, friends, neighbors, community, towns, wherever we live, that this year that we are a massive blessing to people, whether it's believers or non-believers, whoever they are out there, in terms of what God wants to do. Now, let's just read this verse here. In Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, he says, blessed or happy, another word for blessed there is fulfilled. Happy and fulfilled. Also, another word for blessed is envious. How many of you want other people to be envious of what you have with God? That when they look at your life, they look at you and they're envious. That's what the word blessed means. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But this is the man who's blessed, whose delight, or another word for delight is desire. His desire is in the law of the Lord, or in the ways of God, or in the word of God, okay? And his delight or his desire is in the ways of God, or in the word of God, and who meditates. The word meditate there means to ponder. Any of you ever sit when you're reading the Bible and you ponder? Obviously not. So, he who meditates or ponders, he who meditates on the word or on God's ways day and night. That person, that blessed person who delights or desires to in the ways of God and in the word of God, who meditates and ponders on the things of God, allows God to work in his heart and life, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water. And another word for planted there is cultivated. Okay, so it's not just planted and you're going to stay there. It's actually to be cultivated by streams of water which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Now look at that last line. What does it say, the bottom line? How many of you want to live a life like that? Whatever you do prospers. Well, God's given us the key. Blessed is the man. Prosperous is the man. Envious is the man. Happy, fulfilled is the person who doesn't walk in the ways that it says there, but instead he delights or desires the ways of God, the word of God, meditates on them day and night, and then what he says is going to be like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding fruit. Everything he does prospers. Now, we have this tree. This is the beginning of 2016. There's much fruit that you've seen happen in your life up to this point, okay? But we can't live in the good of past fruit. What God wants to do is produce new fruit in this season of time. So this tree, we've purposely bought a tree that doesn't have any fruit on it. Because at the beginning of 2016, we don't want to look at the fruit from last year and say, wow, look at that, wasn't it great last year? What we want to see, look, is God, what do you want to do this year in and through my life? So at this point in our lives, there's much fruit still to be born, okay? So we have a bare tree that at this moment doesn't have any fruit on it. But does it have everything it needs to become the fruitful tree that it needs to be? Okay? So it's planted in this smaller pot. Can you all see that? It's a kind of smaller pot. if it was nice and sunny, we could be outside today, because I'd like to plant this not just in another pot, but in a limitless area.
Because that's how God sees your life, limitless in terms of what he can do in you and through you, okay? But just to help us this morning, what God wants to do this morning is he wants our lives to be planted and established in a much more spacious place. Now, the idea of a fruit tree is that it's fruitful, okay? In order for it to be fruitful, it's got to what? Grow, okay? Then it's going to produce fruit. But also, God doesn't just want it to produce fruit. It wants to reproduce who it is. Now, I did a little bit of reading about this particular tree. And if you plant other trees near it, they help to, I don't know what the right word is, but they help to pollinate. That's the word. Thanks, Charles. They help to pollinate one another, to help one another be more healthy and to become more fruitful. Okay? So, none of us are isolated trees, just living our own life with God. God places us together in an orchard or in a field or in a place, okay? And he wants our lives to pollinate one another so that we can help each other to grow and become fruitful, okay? But primarily what we want to do is we want to be fruitful because we're rooted in God. Now, I have loosened this soil off. You can see I'm a keen gardener, just by the way I'm holding this trowel and digging it into the... You can see, wow, he's a professional. And yet some of you are thinking you shouldn't uproot a tree because you'll kill it. Now, how many of you can see the things at the bottom? What are these things? Roots, okay? If I cut the roots off, what's going to happen to the tree? It dies, right? But if the roots, look at that, that's quite a long one. That doesn't, that's pretty cool. Oh, it's a worm. How many of you like worms? Do you want it for breakfast, Billy? All right, you can have it in a minute. There's a little worm, Billy the Worm, okay? You can come and get me in a minute. Now, what it says here is the person who meditates on the word, his roots are going to be like a tree planted by a stream of living water. If he's planted in that way, there's a constant supply of the water to refresh the soil and everything, and therefore the roots then want to go deeper and pressing further to produce more life that's going to come up through the tree. And so what God wants to do, he wants to establish us. Let's just imagine this is a limitless, it's a bigger pot. I couldn't, you know. But imagine we're outside and God's taken us from a confinement of what our lives might have and how we might believe. And he said, I want to take you into limitless possibilities of who I am and what I want to do through your life. And so God wants to, if you like, root us or plant us into a much more, this is going to work, into a much more spacious place, okay, this year, so that our roots can go deeper and further. It's popping up there, it's all right. You can see I'm a keen gardener. Is that going to stay up? That'll do. Well, what God wants to do, he wants to establish us in his word in a fresh way. Now, we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Matthew during January, okay? And because we want to know who Jesus is, what he says in his word about himself and about us, and how he works in people's lives. We want to know God more, right? How many of you want to know God in a deeper way? So we want to know him. So we're going to search out in the word, and the Holy Spirit's going to reveal things in the word about who God is, who he is to us. So that the life of who we are as a person and who we are as a people is going to flow in a fresh way so that everything that God has purposed for 2016 is going to happen in and through our lives. God speaks fruitfulness over every one of our lives. That tree looks quite bare at the moment, doesn't it? But that tree has everything it needs to produce fruit and then to reproduce. You and I have everything in our lives, in God, to be fruitful and then to even reproduce the same life that he has in us in other people. Okay? So we're like this tree at the moment where it looks like we haven't got a lot of fruit in 2016 yet, but there's lots of little buds sticking out all the way through this that are then going to bud, begin to blossom, and then bear fruit during this year. Now, when I was reading about this tree as well, you can plant this tree and it can be isolated on its own and growing. And it will produce a harvest every so often. But if this tree is planted along with other trees and they're planted together, then what my understanding from what I read about this tree is that the tree, one, lives longer, and two, produces fruit over a much longer period of time, and then will produce fruit year on year when planted with other trees that are similar because of the way they pollinate each other and because of whatever it, however they relate to one another as trees. You know? And that's such a great description of who we are as a body. That we're not our own entity trying to bear fruit. But actually, as we go deeper in the things of God, we will bear fruit. But we also cross-pollinate our faith, our life together. We encourage each other and we bless one another. And we enable each other to move forward together in everything that God has this year in and through our lives. And so we're going to have a fruitful year. We're going to have an amazing year. It's a really simple message, right? But I believe God wants us to really understand that as we root ourselves in His Word. So it's not about reading the Bible. Otherwise, it would just be a tick box exercise. It's about, God, I want to know you. And I want to know you more. And God says, well, if you want to know me more, then spend time rooting yourself in me, in the Word. I'll reveal who I am to you, and you'll find a desire grows up to want to know me more. And then you'll find, God, I want to discover more of who you are. Then you find your roots go deeper, life begins to flow, the buds become blossom, the blossom becomes fruit, and the fruit becomes edible by other people. And then the life that is in you then gets reproduced in other people's lives. So this is a year of reproducing, not just being fruitful in ourselves, but actually reproducing that same life. Amen. So just turn to the person next to you and say, this is a year where you're going to be fruitful. And now to say to you, you're going to bear much fruit and fruit that's going to last. Okay, Sally, do you want to come and join me? Now, this month, starting tomorrow, our 28 days of prayer and fasting begins tomorrow. And we're going to be using the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be doing one chapter a day. But we want to just find out a little bit, Sally, about the mic. It's over here. We want to find out a little bit about Matthew and what the Gospel of Matthew is all about. So can you just give us a hand with that one?
I certainly can. And for that, I need 9 volunteers who are patient and have strong arms. 9 volunteers who are patient and have strong arms. Husband, you can be number one because nobody else is coming. If you want to line yourselves along the top step, then you won't get dirty feet. And then you need the first one, pass it on, but don't show the lovely people the pictures yet. Oh, grown-ups being obedient. This is really good. But at one point, somebody needs that. You need that instead of that, yeah. So if you pass on, that's it. Everyone, that's it. You are allowed to look at the picture because some are portrait and some are landscape, for those who are in the know. Okay. No, it's not Christmas pudding, you'll find out. Right, so, would you like to show your first picture? Yeah, thank you. I didn't hold it up high so everybody can see. So, the book of Matthew was written by Matthew. No surprises there. And this is an artist's impression. I've not actually met him. He was also known as Levi. He was a tax collector when he started life, and as soon as he met Jesus, the first thing he did was left his job, and he threw a party so that everybody he knew could meet Jesus because of the profound effect that had happened in his life. And then he left his job, and he went, and instead of collecting money, he collected the stories of the life of Jesus. Now, Matthew means gift of God. He was also a gift to us because of what he tells us in this book we're about to read and discover over the next few weeks. Everything we need to know about being a Christian, about knowing God. Now, he was writing, he was Jewish, and he was writing with a specific slant towards the Jewish believers because they needed to understand the things of Jesus as the Messiah in a way that was relevant to them. There's a big clue. It's like Bible college, isn't it? There's a big clue in the way that he did that because he talks a lot about the kingdom of God. But what he talks about is the kingdom of heaven, because obviously to the Jewish believers, they could have taken offense if the name of God was used. So he talks about the kingdom of heaven, but don't get confused. It means the kingdom of God, just as you understand it, as you read through, about the kingly rule of God in our hearts. So whenever you read that, that's what he's talking about. So that's number one. Number two, Matthew. This book is not chronologically the first gospel to be written. Again, big words on a Sunday morning. Are you keeping up? It was written in AD 60 to 65, for those of you that helps. But the reason that it comes first in our Bibles is because he was a Jewish writer, so he had a working knowledge very much of the Old Testament. So he quotes the Old Testament over 40 times within the book. You can count as you read through over the month if you want and see exactly how many, because it's in the 40s. And he refers indirectly to the Old Testament over 120 times. Are you learning in your knowledge this morning? Is this preparing you for what's ahead? And it follows on because what he's telling us is the completion of the story. The Old Testament is the story of the Messiah coming, of all that's to come. Jesus is the completion of the story. So these two go next to each other in our Bibles to help us to understand that. Now, what do you imagine this might be? A boulder. Very good. It's meant to be a rock, but very close, because the word of God is a rock. Does anybody know what a plumb line is? Yeah, a plumb line. It's used in building. It's replaced these days more by a spirit level, but it's used because it's a line. Now, this book of Matthew is really good, as I said, to help you as a new disciple, as a new believer, because that's what it was written to explain to the Jewish people how to live their new faith, their new life of trusting in this Messiah. But what a plumb line does in building is it sets you a straight line. It's a weight with a straight line. Now, this book of Matthew is like a plumb line for us. And as we read it over the next month, what we're going to find is that we might not be exactly straight to the Word of God. But the Word of God is a plumb line for us to align our lives to. So we're going to find things transforming our lives, in our families, in our situations, as we align ourselves with this word, which is a plumb line. Come on. Excellent. Right, next picture, because then I'll remember what I said. Okay, there are five major sermons found within this book. And there's a very interesting pattern in this book where he tells us the stories of Jesus, how Jesus did something to demonstrate the kingdom of God, and then he spoke about it. Now, by Friday, you are going to hit the first major sermon, okay? This Friday, you hit the first major sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, also known as the Sermon on the Mount. There's a lot of this word in it. You are blessed in this book. Now, when you start to read through this, you will discover that it is the way that we are able to live because of what Jesus has done in our lives. Don't approach it as a list of rules or a list of pressures or a list of difficult things that everybody must do. It's the most exciting and releasing, amazing truth of what Jesus has done so that you can now live in a different way. So you'll hit that on Friday. Okay, you ready for that? And then the next one is the next major theme in the next sermon is the mission of the kingdom. So there is somebody being healed, because if you only remember one thing from what I say now, remember this. Jesus went about demonstrating the kingdom of God. That's what he did. And once he demonstrated it, he told the people about the kingdom. He didn't go up and say, well, you've got to live like this and you've got to do that and you've got to come to church and you've got to do. He went in there, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. He lived out the kingdom, and then everybody went, how are you doing that? Right. And he was straight in with the word. And that's a principle that we need to apply to our lives as a church this year, that we demonstrate the kingdom of God in everything we do and everything we say, and then we say. So that's that one there. Next one. The growth of the kingdom. The next bit of teaching is all about how the kingdom of God is going to grow this next year. And one of the key things just to mention here, this is the parable of the sower. One of the things that's really important here is that this message of growth for us is to encourage us, because it says you might plant four and only one might come up. Don't get discouraged, because if one comes up, you're going to see 30, 60 or 100-fold fruit. So get planting, but don't get discouraged about the three. Rejoice over the one because of what's to come. Next one. The next sermon that we hear is how to live together in the kingdom. So it gives us instructions on church life and how to relate to one another, how to forgive one another, how to care for one another along the way. And then the next one. Well done. Can you hold it up really high over your head so everybody can see the future of the kingdom? And that's in chapter 24. So that'll be the end of the month we hit that. And that tells us all about the coming, the second coming, and everything that we're to look forward to. I just need to find... Give it a cup of water anyway. Okay, so that's the five major themes you're going to hit. And then, let's turn it around for me, Malcolm. Excellent. Okay, this is ancestry.com, because tomorrow morning you're going to get up early. Oh, where's my water? I left it down there. That'll help us. You're going to get up early because you've got to go back to work or school. Sorry to mention it. However, you're going to get up a little bit earlier because you're going to read chapter 1. Now, when you open chapter 1 tomorrow morning of Matthew, the first thing you're going to hit is a genealogy. So the first part of the first half of chapter 1 of Matthew is a genealogy. Now, don't, children particularly, don't switch off at this point, because it's going to talk all about so-and-so was the father of so-and-so, and so-and-so was the father of Salmon, and Salmon was the father of so-and-so, and so-and-so was the father of Euca, somebody or other. Anyway, I read it yesterday. But don't get disheartened by that, because this is one of the most exciting starts to a book you will ever read, because in chapter verse 16 of chapter 1 it says, and it goes through all the list of people. I could actually talk for an hour on this. Seriously, I could, but I'm not going to. Don't worry. Don't panic. It comes to the last bit and it says, and the father of Joseph, and Joseph who was married to Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, who is the Christ. That one little verse is worth getting really excited about tomorrow, because it tells us the legal right of Jesus to be declared as the Messiah, as the son of David, because he descended from the son of David through the line of Joseph. But Joseph was married to Mary because Jesus is the son of God. The whole gospel is in that one little tiny sentence in the middle of that genealogy. So get excited at the end of the genealogy about that. But get even more excited about the fact that that is the last time that a genealogy appears in the scripture. It's written again in Luke, the same one. Slightly different, but the same one. Now that's the last time there's a genealogy that proves who Jesus is and his descendancy and who he is as Messiah and the right to be our Saviour. And the reason it's the last time that it's written is because when we come to know Jesus and we get saved, we become in Christ and it becomes our genealogy. So there is no longer a need for a genealogy. So that one little verse in that bit that might seem a bit dry when you start off the tomorrow morning, get really excited about it, because in that one sentence, it tells us everything and proves everything who Jesus is, everything that he's done for us, and declares who we are and what we have, all the promises of God that have come down to us through that genealogy to that point. So that is a whistle-stop tour to encourage you and excite you and remind you that you're going to have an awesome time reading the book of Matthew. Thank you very much, and thank you very much.
Brilliant. Now, let's all stand for a minute. In a moment, we're going to, all the children that have been doing the sponsored silence and other things for their Bibles, we're going to hand the Bibles out in a minute, and we're going to pray for all the kids. But before we do that, let's just pray in response to what we've heard this morning. How many of you want to go deeper in your relationship with God? How many of you want to know him in a deeper, greater way? Well, let's just, at the beginning of this year, just tell the Lord that it's not something you're going to have to strive to try and accomplish. All he says is just make yourself available and he'll work and move in each one of our lives. So let's just respond to him for a moment. Father, we, in one sense, we are like this tree. We've been fruitful, but yet there's a new season of fruitfulness ahead. And Father, we want to go deeper in our relationship with you so that we can go further in your purposes. Father, you've spoken to us this year about it being a year where we're living sent. We're living as a sent people. And so, Father, I thank you that over this next 4 weeks, you would just grace every one of us in our prayer, seeking you, meeting with you, being in the Word, everything you want to do in us individually and together as a body, you would find us available, open, teachable, willing to respond, and whatever that's going to look like, even in the next few weeks, we would be different than we are now as a people. Father, I thank you that you are speaking fruitfulness over every person's life today. And that we're going to bear much fruit. So, Father, we thank you for all the times of encounter, times of prayer, fasting, all the different things going on. We thank you, Father, you're going to meet with us and encounter with us in a totally fresh and new way. We praise your awesome name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.